Preface to The Adventures of Gerard by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Preface. I hope that some readers may possibly be interested in these little tales of the Napoleonic soldiers, to the extent of following them up to the springs from which they flow. The age was rich in military material, some of it the most human and most picturesque that I have ever read. Setting aside historical works, or the biographies of the leaders, there is a mass of evidence written by the actual fighting men themselves, which describes their feelings and their experiences, stated always from the point of view of the particular branch of the service to which they belonged. The cavalry were particularly happy in their writers of memoirs. Thus De Rocca, in his Mémoires sur la guerre de France et en Espagne, has given the narrative of a hussar, while de Neuilly, in his Mémoires sur la guerre d'Espagne, gives the same campaign from the point of view of the dragoon. Then we have the Souvenir militaire du colonel de Gonville, which treats a series of wars, including that of Spain, as seen from under the steel-brimmed, hair-crested helmet of a cuirassier. Preeminent among all these works, and among all military memoirs, are the famous reminiscences of Marbot, which can be obtained in an English form. Marbot was a chasseur, so again we obtain the cavalry point of view. Among other books which help one to an understanding of the Napoleonic soldier, I would specially recommend Les Cahiers du Capitaine Cognet, which treat the wars from the point of view of the private of the guards, and Les Mémoires du Sergent Bourgon, who was a non-commissioned officer in the same corps. The Journal of Sergeant Fricasse and the Recollections of de Fesnay and of de Segur complete the materials from which I have worked in my endeavour to give a true historical and military atmosphere to an imaginary figure. Arthur Conan Doyle, March 1903. End of Preface. Section 1 of The Adventures of Gerard. How Brigadier Gerard Lost His Ear. It was the old brigadier who was talking in the café. I have seen a great many cities, my friends. I would not dare to tell you how many I have entered as a conqueror, with 800 of my little fighting devils clanking and jingling behind me. The cavalry were in front of the Grand Army, and the Hussars of Conflans were in front of the cavalry, and I was in front of the Hussars. But of all the cities which we visited, Venice is the most ill-built and ridiculous. I cannot imagine how the people who laid it out thought that the cavalry could manoeuvre. It would puzzle Murat or La Salle to bring a squadron into that square of theirs. For this reason we left Kellerman's heavy brigade and also my own hussars at Padua on the mainland. But Suchet with the infantry held the town, and he had chosen me as his aide-de-camp for that winter, because he was pleased about the affair of the Italian fencing master at Milan. The fellow was a good swordsman, and it was fortunate for the credit of French arms that it was I who was opposed to him. Besides, he deserved a lesson, for if one does not like a prima donna's singing, one can always be silent, but it is intolerable that a public affront should be put upon a pretty woman. So the sympathy was all with me, and after the affair had blown over, and the man's widow had been pensioned, Suchet chose me as his own galloper, and I followed him to Venice, where I had the strange adventure which I am about to tell you. You have not been to Venice? No, for it is seldom that the French travel. We were great travellers in those days. From Moscow to Cairo we had travelled everywhere, but we went in larger parties than were convenient to those whom we visited, and we carried our passports in our limbers. It will be a bad day for Europe when the French start travelling again, for they are slow to leave their homes, but when they have done so, no one can say how far they will go, if they have a guide like our little man to point out the way. But the great days are gone, and the great men are dead, and here am I, the last of them, drinking wine of Suresnes, and telling old tales in a café.